Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Just a few reminders for us today. Today is our family fun day church picnic at Camp Grace from 2 to 7. Families, and even if you don't have family, you can come as well, can enjoy swimming, fishing, inflatables, hot dogs, hamburgers, chips will be served from 4 to 5:30. Bottled water also will be available. Anyone planning to swim or canoe or use the inflatables needs to fill out a waiver when you get there. Things to bring, one would probably be sunscreen. You want to bring some drinks as well, lawn chair, snacks or drinks for your family, towels if you plan to swim. If you want to fish, bring fishing gear, but bait will be provided, football, soccer ball, whatever you would like to do to enjoy your time out there. Also, senior adults, on April 14th through the 18th, there's a senior adult trip to Branson, Missouri. Cost is $9.50 a person. Deposit of $2.50 secures your spot. And more information is available at the events table out in the lobby this morning. There's a new member class that is coming up October 8th, 15th, and 22nd at 9 o'clock during our life group time in the auditorium in here. If you're interested in becoming a member here at Luke 418, we ask if you'd please just sign up at the no table that is also out there in the lobby, or you can go to our website as well. New property. All of y'all know we have new property, and we've been blessed throughout the summer to have the ground taken care of. But now that summer has ended, even though it may not feel like it outside, we now get the blessing of getting to also cut the grass and weed eat the grass. So we have a serve opportunity on September the 23rd at 8 o'clock. We need a few zero-turn lawnmowers, 6 to 8 weed eaters, and a few push mowers to kind of do some edging with. And so if you are willing to help serve in that way, there is a sign-up sheet at the go table right outside in the lobby this morning if you'd be willing to serve in that way. If not, I think one Sunday we can all grab scissors and we just make a pass through there and we can knock it out before we go to bed that night. And then today is Grandparents' Day. If you are still able to call or see your grandparents, we want to encourage you to thank them today. And so we're going to pray for them real quick, and then we're going to turn over to baptism this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for today. God, we thank you, Lord, as we think through, God, just the blessing to gather as a body and worship. God, to sing songs of praise to you, God, to hear your word preached today. God, to live in community this morning, to enjoy the fellowship of other brothers and sisters in Christ. God, I thank you for that blessing. Lord, as we think, even with grandparents, Lord, just the blessing they have been to me, God, thinking through my grandparents and the memories and the conversations and the things they instilled to me. And so, Lord, we thank you, God, and if we think through our family, God, just the lineage that some of us have, God, seeing godly men and women who cared about their children, God, that ultimately led to us being here today. So, Lord, as we come to this time of worship, God, may we focus on you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's turn our attention to baptism.
Amen. What is a joy to begin our time of worship with baptism this morning. As I often share, baptism is an outward expression of an inward decision. And for the body of Christ, baptism is important as well, not only as a proclamation for them to hear and to rejoice, but also to know that those who come to Christ as Lord and Savior are now part of the family of God together. And so this morning we have Casey Beasley coming. So this is Casey Beasley. She's been coming for, 3 years now, and about the last month or two, the Lord just began to place on her heart that she needed to submit to the Lordship of Christ. And just this last month, she came to know Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. And so we rejoice in that. Casey, is Jesus the Lord of your life?
Yes.
Amen. Well, it's upon your profession, my sister, that I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ unto death, and raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you are so good, and we just praise your holy name. I pray, Father, that we will see more and more baptisms every week as people come to know you as Lord and Savior. Father, I thank you for the testimony, Father, of Casey and how she recognized her need of you. And Lord, I thank you that you made a way through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus upon the cross and the resurrection from the dead, that we all may have life. So, Father, we love you. We praise you. May today be a day of worship as we worship you in spirit and in truth. For it's in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much for coming here today to worship with us. If you're a guest with us, go ahead and fill out a card and put it in the back boxes back there. But why don't you stand and greet someone as we sing together this morning. Brethren, we have met to worship. That's what we're here for today, is to give him praise. Let's sing together.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy man showered all around.
Sing together.
Brethren, see poor sinners round you slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving, can you bear to let them go?
Sisters, will you join and help?
Sisters, will you join and help us? Moses' sister hated him. Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin?
Sing this out.
Tell us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes something new. Then he'll call us home to heaven.
I didn't choose that song intentionally, knowing that we were going to have the picnic today. But Sweet Manna All Around sounds like a good deal to me. We have a God that is holy, and that means that we approach him in a very certain way. He tells us to sing, to pray, to hear his word. There's no one like our God, so let's praise him like no one else.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing. Together we sing. Sing it out. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of Lord's renown. And together we sing. Everyone sing. Sing it to Him. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God. Is filled with His glory, filled with His glory.
Aren't you glad that we can see Him in all things? Philippians 1:21 says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Even in His death, we have an example of Christ of what we are to do with our lives. To give it as a sacrifice, for us a living sacrifice, dying daily. And remembering His sacrifice on the cross. Let's remember that together today.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, and poor contempt on all my pride. See from His head His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow, mingle down. Did e'er have such a love and sorrow made. O'er thorns compose so rich a crown. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the wonderful cross. All who gather here, by grace draw near and bless your name.
Together,
love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the wonderful cross. All who gather here, my grace draw near and bless your name.
It's what we're here to do today. You can be seated as we continue in worship, as we bless Him, as we give our heart, our soul, and our mind and our strength to Him. We get closer to Him, abiding in Him daily. Even the breath that we have in our lungs right now is a gift to be praised for. Amen. So let's give Him that praise today.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are You, Lord. It's Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to You only, Jesus. We pour out our praise. You give life. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken.
one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess and say that Jesus is Lord. Why not start today? We can give him our praise continually together as the church. Sing all the earth.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Praise him today.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Want to praise you today, to worship you in spirit and in truth together as the body of Christ. We pray that your praise would be forever on our lips, knowing that we have a great high priest who is interceding for us. We know that we will live with you forever because of the cross, because of the sacrifice that you made. We pray that we would continually and forever say, holy, holy, holy is our Lord, our God Almighty. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Holy, you are lifted high.
Amen. You know, we were sitting there, and Brother Aaron led us in a song that said, "It's your breath in our lungs, and we pour out our praise to you." Can you throw that up on the screen for me? It's our breath. It's your breath, excuse me, in our lungs. And so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. I was sitting here, and as we were singing that song, the Lord just took me on a journey from Genesis to Revelation. Now, it was my plan up until 30 seconds ago to follow in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, but I think that I'm going to hold off on that for tomorrow, for next week. Because as I listened to this, I just began to think about the breath of God. And so I know that you probably have notes. And those in the back, I'm sorry, because you have none of these scriptures. But I just feel like we just need to take a journey in the breath of God today. If you have your scriptures, open up to Ezekiel 37. In Ezekiel 37, and we'll begin, I guess, in verse 1. Let me pray as we take this journey. Father, you know that it was my full intention of preaching Romans 12, 1 and 2 today. But Father, I believe that you have just placed this on my heart. Father, I have no notes, but I have your word. I have no words that I can speak, but we know that when you speak, transformation takes place. Your word will not return void. So, Father, give me the words this morning and speak. For it's in your precious and holy name, the name above all names, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Ezekiel 37 says this, and many of you know this passage. It's the valley of dry bones, and God speaking to Ezekiel. And he says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were dry. And he said, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Again he said to me, 'Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these dry bones, behold, I cause breath to enter you that you may come to life.'" He says, "I will cause breath to enter you." The story continues on, and Ezekiel begins to see the flesh come onto these bones. But then he did not see them come to life. It was just that they had flesh on them. It says this in verse 7, "So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered, but there was no breath. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life.' So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, and an exceedingly great army." Church, as I listen and I think of this story in Exodus 37, it brings me back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we see the creation story, really in chapter 1. But then on into chapter 2, we see the creation of man. Then we see the creation of Eve. But then we see in Genesis 2:7, it says this. Can you throw that up on the screen? Genesis 2:7. It says, "Then the Lord formed man from the dust, from the ground. And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being." Church, I think it's very interesting that we can see between Genesis 2:7 and Ezekiel 37 that there's a difference between just having flesh and having the breath of God breathed into the nostrils of the dry bones. In Genesis 2, it wasn't until God breathed that breath of life that man came alive. Some of the commentaries will tell you that it was the body that was created through the dust, but then God breathed life and the soul was entered into man and man became alive. And we see scripturally the soul of man. We see that because of the fall of man that they spiritually died. In Genesis chapter 3, what takes place but Adam and Eve take of the fruit that they were not called to take of. And in that moment they died, not physically but spiritually. And so we see two different types of death. We have a physical death, we have a spiritual death. And we see in Genesis 2:7 the difference between the body being formed of dust and the spiritual life that is breathed into the nostrils of Adam. This is important because in Ezekiel 37, what do we see? But it wasn't until the breath of God breathed into the dry bones that they had life. What is this breath? Well, the scripture speaks about the breath of God. It speaks about this in 2 Timothy 3:16. Think about this. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is inspired. But that word inspired means breathe. Literally to breathe. The word of God has been breathed, the breath of God has spoken his word. It's profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for training and righteousness. It's by the breath of God that he spoke his word. At church, we literally have the breath of God right here in our hands between Genesis and Revelation. The breath that breathed into us life in Genesis chapter 2. But it goes even deeper than this. Because what does it say in 1 Peter 1:22 through 25? In 1 Peter 1, and I'm going to give them time to throw it up on this screen. But in 1 Peter 1:22 through 25, it says, "Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your soul for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart." It says, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God." Think about this, church. In Genesis chapter 3, we see the fall of man. They spiritually die. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we see that God's word is breathed, is his breath. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, we see that it's the breath of God that is breathed back into man that brings them back to life. Look at this. It says, "For it's through the living and enduring word of God." The only thing, church, that can bring someone back to life spiritually is by the breath of God. The breath of God that speaks of the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ, who went to the cross, died on the cross for our sins, and rose again on the third day. Church, it's the breath of God that enters our lungs. It's the breath of God that enters our life that brings us to life spiritually. It's the same thing as in Ezekiel 37, that when the breath was breathed into the dry bones, they came to life. Church, as we look at this and we see this and we sing a song, "It's your breath in my lungs and I pour out my praise." It's because God has breathed life into you. It's because we've been saved by his word, by his truth that's been breathed out. When we sing praise songs and we're crying out to God, it's because he is the one who has spiritually saved us through the sacrifice of his son. through the resurrection by the power of the Holy Spirit, raising Christ from the dead. You want to know what we need to do to share the gospel with others? We need to breathe out the breath of God. How do we do that? By being in the Word of God. We need to breathe out the truths of the gospel, the truths of the fact that the fall of man has separated us, has caused us to be spiritually dead, but God has sent His Son, that if you would believe, that He will breathe the breath of life into you, that you shall be saved. And church, it's His Word that's going to transform lives. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, I was planning on chapter 2 today, or verse 2 today, but in that it says, do not be conformed by the world, but be transformed. It's the Word of God that does that transforming work in our lives, and the only thing that's going to transform the lives of others is by us speaking and breathing the Word of God. Why do you think there's such an attack today to find cracks in the Word? Why do you think a denomination today is going through a split because some want to say the Word means this and others it means this? People are going to the foundation of Christianity, which is the Word, and they're trying to show that it's wrong. But church, we know that it's God's breath. We know that it's the only thing that can transform lives. It's the only thing that can bring about life. But yet we will try to do all these other things and we'll try to clean ourselves up, but it's God's Word that does that. He breathes life into us through salvation. He breathes life into us through sanctification. Look at what it says in Hebrews. Hebrews 4, 12 through 13. It says this. Y'all know this scripture. For the Word of God, which we can go back and say is God breathed, right? The Word of God is what? Living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And church, it pierces as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joint, marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. You want to know what the breath of God does? It gives us spiritual life. But it also brings about sanctification through the power of the Holy Spirit. For the Word cuts through the depths. It cuts through the soul and the spirit. It cuts down all the way and it judges every thought in our heart. And then what does it say in the next verse? I love this in verse 13. It says this, and there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. This scripture says, the Word says that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and nothing will pass up or pass by the Word. It says everything will be laid bare before the truth of God's holy Word. Church, it's His breath in our lungs that we pour out our praise. We see in the scripture that it's His breath that breathes life into us in Genesis 2:7. We see that it's His breath that breathes life into us at salvation. It's His Word that saves us. And then we see here that it's the Word of God that sanctifies us. Are we allowing the Word of God to have its sanctifying work in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit? And church, I've told you over and over that this Word I love, I cherish, I can't get enough of it. But are we diving into the Word of God to say, I want to line my life up with the Word. I want to line my life up with the Word. I tell people all the time, I said it Wednesday night, I said that we don't need to just read the Word, we need to let the Word read us. We don't need to simply be in the Word. We need the Word to be in us. Church, the Word of God that's been breathed out, His breath, does a sanctifying work in our lives. We can't just sit there and say, well, I'm going to read the Word and then I check my box. We have to say, Father, I'm laying my life down before You. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, I'm a living sacrifice. My life is laid out before the Word of God. And You show me through Your plumb lines. You show me through Your precepts. You show me through Your Word areas of my life that's not in line with who You are. Now, we as Christians say, oh, I don't want to do that because then I'm going to feel guilty. Listen, if you're feeling guilty, it's because we're allowing the enemy to wreak havoc in our mind. God is showing us things because he loves you. He's breathed his breath, the word of God out, and given it to you because he loves you. Because he knows that if you will allow the word to wash over you, that it will keep you from the pains of this world. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he's come to give you life, life abundantly. David in Psalm 139, I shared this about a month ago. He said, God, you know every detail of my life more than I know myself. You formed me in my mother's womb. You know the thoughts before I even speak them. And then he says in the last two verses, that's incredible. And so instead of seeking my own self to figure out what I need to change, I'm going to seek you. I'm going to say, Father, breathe on me. Show me areas. Let my life be laid bare before your word. Let your word do its sanctifying work in my life. Go back to 2 Timothy 3:16. What does it say the word will do in verse 16 and 17? It says that it will reproof, it'll teach. It's profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. So that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. You say, David, I just don't feel equipped. I don't feel ready. I don't think that I can go and just do this or that you're saying and sharing. Listen, that means that we need to let the breath of God wash over us. When we allow the word of God to be breathed over us, when we get in the word, we see that we will be equipped for every good work. We see that it will bring about reproof and teaching in our life. We see that God's going to do a mighty work through the power of the Holy Spirit. And church, we don't like that, but it's time for us to see that God loves us, and that's why he's given it to us. As a kid, nobody wanted to get in trouble. Nobody. And you would do everything you could to try not to get in trouble, even if you had messed up, right? Sometimes we would even lie about it. You know what the problem with lying about it is? You got to remember the lie so that you can keep it going. But think about this for a moment. We were fearful of getting in trouble, but the reality of it is that parents discipline their kids because they love them. Because they want them to understand the truth. They want them to see that the path that they're walking on is going to bring about pain and suffering. It's because a parent loves them that they walk them through that discipline process. But we as kids, we do everything we can to get away from it. Mark Lowry used to say, his daddy told him that this spanking's going to hurt me worse than it's going to hurt you. And Mark Lowry used to say, I didn't understand that. I didn't know why he wouldn't let me just spank him then. But the reality of it is that's true, is that for a parent, it does hurt more, doesn't it, parents? It does, because we don't want to discipline our kids, but we do it because we love them. God takes us through a sanctifying work, through his breath upon us for your good. That's actually what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, at the very end, after talking about do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it says, so that you may prove that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. That word acceptable is well-pleasing. It's pleasing. That you would understand that God's will for you is good. Yes, there's sanctification. Yes, there's pain. Yes, it's removing of the flesh, a crucifying of the flesh, but it's good for you. It doesn't seem well-pleasing in the moment, but the book of Hebrews says that discipline in the moment is not fun, but it yields the fruit of righteousness. And that God's will is perfect. Everything that he does is perfect. Everything. You know, I was sitting there, and I y'all know that I'm in school, and I was writing a essay question about death the other day. And I wrote that, you know, though the enemy meant for death to be harmful to us, That death would send us to an eternal hell for all eternity? God took what the enemy meant for bad, and he has used it for his good, for our good, and for his glory. God has defeated death, and it's because of that death, and because he's defeated it, that when we breathe our last breath, we go from the sanctification to the glorification. That's why Paul could say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul could literally say that I have recognized that if God would have let me eat of the tree in the garden, y'all remember Genesis chapter 3? At the very end of chapter 3, God said, he said, we, talking about the Trinity, need to go down and remove them out of the garden, because if they continue to eat of the tree of life, they will live forever. God recognized that if we lived forever in our sinful state, even through salvation, we would still be fighting the flesh. Church, for those who are saved, born again, trusted in Christ as their Lord and Savior, is there anyone here who does not fight the flesh every day? None of us. And if God would not have allowed us to breathe our last on this earth, we would be eternally stuck in this position of the sanctification, the fighting of the flesh daily. But the enemy meant it for harm. God, through the resurrection of his Son, has turned it for our good. And now when we breathe our last, God says, you are no longer in sanctification. You are now in the glorification. And he says, there will be no more sin. There will be no more hurt. There will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. What the enemy wanted you to be in hell, I have brought you to eternal life with me. Church, this is powerful, all from his breath. And not to mention that his breath really begins in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. God created. How did he create? He said, let earth happen, and there it was. I still can't get over that. I can't wait till I get to heaven. I'm going to be like, hey, can you give me like a 30-second video on how that happened? I keep looking at my notes as if they're going to help me here. But church, it's the breath of God that does a sanctifying work in our life. So we see it's the breath of God in Genesis chapter 2 that breathes life. We see that in Ezekiel 37, that it's not until the breath of life is breathed into the dry bones that they have life. We see in 1 Peter chapter 1 that it's the breath of God that brings about spiritual salvation or spiritual life. Remember, we're spiritually dead from the fall. We're all born into sin. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all deserve death, and we're spiritually dead. But it's the breath of God that brings about salvation by speaking of the sacrifice that Jesus did upon the cross. And Hebrews 4, it's the breath of God that brings about sanctification through the Holy Spirit in our lives. Oh, but can I tell you that there's one more? Why don't y'all flip over to Revelation 19? And in Revelation 19, I'm going to flip over there too. Verses 9 through 16. Ooh, this is good. Here we go. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God. Then I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who holds the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. I love that. If you want to talk about worship, which is what we'll go back to next week, if you want to talk about worship, we're to worship no one outside of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Even in heaven, as he's writing this and seeing this in heaven, is, hey, don't worship me, worship God. It continues on. It says this, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of the prophecy. And I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Oh, but it gets better. And the armies which are in the heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on a white horse. And his mouth opens. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he will tread the winepresses of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Church, did you catch that? First off, Jesus is called the Word. And we know from John chapter 1, the Word was with God, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word is God. But then we see in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And now we see in Revelation 19 that Jesus is called the Word of God. But how does he destroy all the armies of the world? With a sword that comes forth from his mouth. Now, church, when this day happens, I'll tell you for sure. But what I see in this passage, in correlation with Hebrews chapter 4, is that Jesus is going to speak. And when he speaks a word, that all the nations of this world who have risen up against him, who have said, I don't need God, I don't want God, I'm better than God, I am a God, and he's going to speak, and I think it's just going to be one word. And in that moment, they're all going to be done. It will be over because of the breath, the word of God coming forth from his mouth. Church, do we see that it's the breath of God that gives us life in Genesis 2? It's the breath of God that brings about salvation in our life by showing us the salvation that we have in Jesus. It's the breath of God that brings about the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. And it's the breath of God that will destroy all the enemies of the world. And God will be lifted high and glorified as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So church, when we sing a song, it's your breath in my lungs. So I pour out to praise. This isn't some little song. This isn't just simple words. It goes from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation 19 and really to the end of the book. That it's the breath of God that we have, that we get to pour out the praises to God and God alone. Church, I pray, and I don't know why the Lord has changed my message today, but I pray that you will see the value of the breath of God that we have. That we would begin to speak it to others, knowing that his word will not return void, and praise God, his word will stand forever. That we would let his word that will stand forever be our foundation of sanctification in our life. Somebody asked me one day, they said, why do you believe this? Or why do you believe that? And they were talking about all the social issues of our day. And I said, because the word of God says this. I'm not going to trust my opinions or my thoughts because they're shifting sand. I'm not going to go with the culture because what is deemed this today is not deemed that tomorrow. I'm going to go with the foundation of God's breath that will not change. Church, we must be men and women of the Word. Allowing the Word to wash over us and be spoken through us. And church, there's a day coming where the Word of God will be spoken. And all the enemies will be destroyed. And God will be glorified. Church, I don't know where to go from here. So here's what we're going to do. You say, David, it's really early. I understand, and nobody's upset with a short sermon. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask Brother Aaron to come up and sing that song again. I pray that as we hear the words of this song, that we will be reminded of the breath of God. You may be sitting here today and you may say, David, I don't understand. You're saying that I'm going to die physically one day, but you're saying I need to be spiritually made alive? Yes, that's what it talks about in John chapter 3. I know that many people know 3:16, but before that, we see this dialogue of how can one be born again? Well, the scripture speaks that being born again is a submitting to the lordship of Christ, recognizing you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and allowing the breath of God to come upon you. Allowing God's word to breathe over you, receiving that free gift, and submitting to His lordship. I pray today would be a day of salvation. You may be here today and you're saying, David, I have not been walking really through sanctification. I haven't been willing to let the word wash over me. Yeah, I'll listen to this person or that person, but I have not gone to the word and said, word, Lord, wash over me. And I want to walk in obedience of your word through the power of the Holy Spirit, for he has given us everything we need for life and godliness, church. And I can tell you part of that is this right here. Church, I pray that we would respond according to the word. That we would recognize that the breath of God goes from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation. And that as we sing this song, that it would truly be from a place of understanding what God has done with his breath from the beginning to the end. Brother Aaron, let's sing this song.
Would you stand and sing with me? You give life, your love, you bring light to the darkness. This is our God who we serve.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, oh.